Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Mem Hei, Me'etz Hashem. We're going to finish off the fourth parak, Shor Shenagach. We're learning today, Le'ili Nishmas, Isaac Shaiwitz, Yitzhak Isaac Ben Gedaya. All the Nishmas we learned for should have been aliyah from our learning, and all of the forces of Tzahal, the Kochas HaBitachon, they should be successful in all their endeavors, they should be safe. All those in need of a Refuah Shleimah should have one, and the hostages should come back b'mheira, in good health, and without any difficulties. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Shomer Al Kala Yisrael. Okay, we pick up already two-thirds of the way down on Mem Hemiot Aleph with the two dots. We quote the Mishnah where it said the second part of the Mishnah had a unrelated din of the four Shomrim. Misara l'shomer chinam l'shomer chule. If you gave over your ox to either a Shomer Chinam, a Shomer Sochar, a Socher, or a Shoel. Shomer Chinam is an unpaid watchman. He has different dinim than the paid watchman, the Shomer Sochar, in terms of the Shomer Chinam being less responsible. He's only responsible if there's Pshia. And the Shomer Sachar has to also pay if there's Gneva of the Aveda, if it's stolen or if it's lost, when it's not armed robbers and it's not an onus, an unusual type of occurrence. And then you have the din of the Socher. There's a machlokis as to whether the Socher is like a Shomer Sachar or whether the Socher is like a Shomer Chinam. We'll see that later in today's shir. And then finally you have the Shoel, the borrower. So he is chayav on everything other than Meso Machmas Melocha, only if he's borrowing it and it dies during the normal usage of that item. So then the Shoel is going to be potter, but otherwise he's chayav for everything. So what the Mishnah taught us is that all of these people take the place of the owner of the ox in terms of damages that the ox causes. And the Gemara gives us a brisa that elaborates on this. Tana Rabbanan, the brisa says, Arba nichlesu tachas aval, these four shomrim, the Shomer Chinam, Shomer Socher, the Socher, and the Shoel, they take the place of the Baalim, they take the place of the owner if they're in responsible for the ox. So the Eluhain, these are those four, the Shomer Chinam, the Shoel, the Osei Socher, and the Socher. And under these circumstances, Hargu, if the ox was under one of these four types of Shomrim's watch and it killed a person, so then if it's a Shor Tam, Tamim Neharogin, the din, as we've learned in the last couple of days, is that a short tam is going to be a short aniskal if it did it intentionally. So if the short was a short tam and it's in the watch of any of these four shomrim, so then the short will be a short aniskal. You have witnesses, so then they see that this short tam killed somebody, so then it will be put to death as a short aniskal. Uptur min a kofer, but since this is a short tam, there is no din of kofer. Since this was done unintentionally, as I said, so there is no din of kofer paying the shovyav of either the person of the nizak or of the mazik, as we had that machlokas earlier in the Masechta as well. So the tamim, if it's a short tam, will be killed as a short niskal, upturim in a kofer, but those four watchmen will not have to pay kofer. If it was a short muad, however, muadin, and these four shomer were watching it, so whichever one of the four shomer was watching it, it doesn't make any difference. It will be a short niskal nerogin if there were witnesses to show that this short killed intentionally. And here, there will also be all of them will have to pay the kofer, and shalman es a kofer. However, in terms of damages separate from the kofer, in terms of the nezik that they caused, so v'chayavim lahachzer dumei shor lebalav, they'll have to go and pay back the balim for the fact that this was a shor haniskal, that this animal is lost. However, chutz mishomer chinam, the shomer chinam will not have to go and pay back. And the understanding here is because, as we'll see in the Gemara, he did a proper shmira, and therefore he is going to be potter from having to go and pay for the lost animal. We'll see much more in a moment in the Gemara. Tosos points out in Dibur Maskil Chutz Misho Bechinam that we could have said a similar thing. Hu Adin Davi Motzel Lememar Kulan Pturim B'Shamro Shmira Meula. If all of them had watched a proper Shmira, it could have pointed it out this way, that the Shomer Chinam, the Shomer Socher, and the Socher would all be potter in that situation. Only the Shoel would be chayv. It could have said that as well. It just wanted to point out one specific din in regards to the payment that would not have to be made for the ox. Now, this is the brisa. So the Gemara now says, Arme, hechidami, what exactly is the scenario over here? What type of shmiru was done? If it was watched properly, so then why? Afilukulu namli patro. If they did a proper shmiru, so then why should anybody be chayiv to pay back the owner of the ox? And if a proper shmiru was not done, v'idlo denatre, so then even the shomachinam should have to pay. Afilu shomachinam nechayiv. That's the question that the Gemara asks. So the Gemara answers, Arme, you know what we're talking about over here, hochav mayaskinan, we're dealing with that it was a shmira, the natre shmira pechusa. Again, the shmira pechusa sounds like it's a not good shmira, but as we've explained, it means it wasn't a perfect shmira. It wasn't a shmira that would hold up to an onus. It was just a regular shmira. For example, you locked the door so the animal couldn't get out. But the animal could get out under somewhat unusual circumstances. So this is called Shmira Pechusa. The Natri Shmira Pechusa, they did a regular Shmira here, the Lo Natri Shmira Mula, but they didn't do this super duper Shmira that would hold up against a hurricane, that would hold up against all sorts of onus. So Shomer Chinam calls Lo Shmiraso. For a Shomer Chinam, this was a regular good Shmira, and therefore he wouldn't be chayv to pay back the value of the ox because the ox is a Shor Niskal, so he did a good Shmira. However, Hanach, all the others, the Shomasach, the Socher, and the Shoel, Hanach lo kolso Shmiras, and their Shmira was not a good enough Shmira, and therefore they have to pay.
Where it says, wait a second, is that really correct? I'm reading where it says, who does this go in accord? That which we just said, that only the Shomer Chinam have an exemption from paying, and all the other type of Shomer have to pay, plus the fact that everybody has to pay the kofar, so who does that go in accord with? Now, we'll see that there's a machlokas between Rav Meir and Yehuda in two separate areas, and it doesn't seem to fit either the sheet of Rav Meir or the sheet of Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara questions and says, Amri Kiman, who does this go like? If you're going to tell me, Iki Rav Meir, if it goes according to the sheet of Rav Meir, now, Rav Meir and Yehuda have two machlokas in. The first one that they have over here is a Shmira Pechusa good for a Muad? Everybody agrees somewhat paradoxically, which we'll explain in the Gemara, that you need a Shmira Ma'ayisa for the Tam. But what about for a Mu'ad? So Rav Meir holds that you need a Shmira Ma'ayisa not only for the Tam, but you also need it for the Mu'ad. So therefore, if the Shmira was not a Shmira Ma'ayisa, so then we understand why everybody would say that you have to pay the Kofar. All the four Shomer have to pay the Kofar. However, if you hold like this opinion of a mayor, then you also have to hold like the other opinion of a mayor. We turn to him, hey, Omid Beis, and the other opinion of a mayor says, the Omar Socher, the din of a Socher is Kishomer Chinam Dami, not as we've usually assumed that a Socher has the same din as a Shomer Socher, but according to this opinion of Rav Meir, he holds that a Socher is like a Shomer Chinam. If that's true, so then why did the Mishnah say for the Shmira that is a regular Shmira, what we call the Shmira Pechusa, so that would be exempting the Shomer Chinam from having to pay, it should also exempt the Socher, who has the same din according to Rav Meir as a Shomer Chinam, from having to pay. So therefore, listening, it should have said, not only is it Chutz Mishomer Chinam, it should have said, Chutz Mishomer Chinam, the HaSocher, that shouldn't have to pay back to the owner of the shore for the fact that the shore was Niskal. So it can't be Rav Meir, because it doesn't seem to go like this opinion of Rav Meir, because then it should have said, not only the Shomer Chinam, it should have said the Socher. Oh, so it must be going according to Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda holds that a Socher has the same din as a Shomer Socher. So if that's the situation, then we understand why it says just Shomer Chinam. However, Rav Yehuda's Shita is that you need a Shmira Ma'alyasa only for a Tam. For a Muad, a regular Shmira, what we call the Shmira Pechusa, is acceptable. So therefore, granted, it only says Lisnei Shomer Chinam, we understand why it says that. However, Nisnei Chutz Mishomer Chinam, that we understand, but then it should have also added the Kulan in regards to all the four Shomim, Bimu'adin, since they did a Shmira Pechusa, they should be Peturin, Lenin, Kofar. So we're stuck over here. We have these two machlokas in Rav Meir and Yehuda. If you hold like Rav Meir, so it only fits one of the two sides of Rav Meir. If you hold like Rav Yehuda, it only fits one of the two opinions of Rav Yehuda. They seem to be at odds with each other. So the Gemara is going to give us two terutzim. The first one is, Amar Rav Huna Bar Chanina. Rav Huna Bar Chanina says, Hamani, who's the author of the Mishnah? It's in fact Rabbi Eliezer. It is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Now, these opinions we're actually going to have later on in the Mishnah in a few moments. But first, it tells us that this is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who says, the Omar, ain lo shmira elatsakin, that the only way to go and protect yourself from having a shor muad is to go take it to the sheichet, to bring it to a sakin, and have an animal shechted. There is no good shmira for a muad. And therefore, if there's no good shmira for a muad, we understand why they're all going to be chayiv in the kofar. But if it was a shmira that was acceptable for a shomer chinam, that's why it would be that the shomer chinam is parted from paying back the baal for the value of the shor haniskal. Fine. So therefore, if you say that this is Rabbi Eliezer, then we have an answer. The Indian socher, Savalok Rav Yehuda. In regards to the socher, he holds like Rav Yehuda, that in fact, the socher has the din of a Shomer Socher, and therefore the Omer Socher cannot say Socher Dami, and therefore we understand why the only one that doesn't have to pay is the Shomer Chinam for the actual value of the Shor HaNiskal, but all of them are chayiv for the Kofar, and in fact all of them are going to be obligated to pay for the value of the animal as well to the Baal, with the exception of the Shomer Chinam. Oh, so that's teretz number one, that the opinion of our Mishnah is actually Rabbi Eliezer. Alternatively, Abai Amar, Leolik Rav Meir. We could figure it that it's like Rav Meir. And we had no problem, because when it said that Rav Meir holds that they both require a Shmira Ma'ayisa, so therefore, that's why everybody's Chayav a Kofar. So that was not problematic. The only problem was, if you held like the first understanding that we had of Rav Meir, so he says a Socher has the same din as a Shomachinim. So it should have said, Lisnei, Chutz B'Shomachinim, and a Socher. But Abaye says that that opinion is not actually Rav Meir's opinion, that's rather Rav Yehuda's opinion. So therefore, we actually have to flip around the second machlokus as to whether a socher is like a shomachinim or a shomasachar, so that we flip around. The only Rav Meir, ukidimachlif rabba bar avua b'tani. And it goes in accord with the following switched around shittas of Rav Meir and Yehuda, like rabba bar avua taught, and he said as follows, that a socher, Ketzad B'Shalim, how does a socher pay? Is a socher like a shomachinim, or is it like a shomasocher? So the opinion of Rabbi Meir, according to Rabba Bar Ravua, is Rav Meir holds Omer kishomasocher, which we previously had attributed to Rabbi Yehuda. But here we see that Rabba Bar Ravua says that this is Rav Meir's opinion. Oh, Rav Meir says that a socher is like a shomasocher, so now we understand why it only says, listen, a chutz mishomachinim alone. It doesn't say shomachinim is socher, because a socher has the same din as a shomasocher, which in this situation would be obligated to go and pay. And it was Rav Yehuda who's the one that says, Rav Yehuda Meir kishomachinim. So when you flip around the sheet, there's Rav Meir and Yehuda for the second machlokas, now we could say that it goes all in accord with Rav Meir, and that's the second teretz. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar tells us, Masar Shoro L'Shomer Chinam, if you give over your ox to a Shomer Chinam, now, he's a Chayav, Huzak Potter. If it goes and damages other oxen, so the Shomer Chinam is going to be responsible to go and pay for the other oxens that were damaged. He didn't watch it properly. However, if the ox that he's taken, the Shomer Chinam, to watch, is itself damaged, Huzak, so then he's Potter. Now, this seems to be impossible to understand. It seems to be mutually contradictory. If you're telling me that he's chayev to go and pay damages if it hurts somebody else, so why isn't he chayev to go pay damages if it itself gets hurt? He's a shomachinam. He should be either chayev in both or potter in both. So that's what the Gemara says. Ami hechidam. What are we talking about? Either kabil alei shmiras nizakov. If he accepted upon himself responsibility, he's going to take achrayis over here for shmira of any damages that happened to it. So then afilu huzak nami lechayev. So then, not only if it damages somebody else, if it gets damaged, he should be chayiv. So, again, it should be both. How can you tell me he's a chayiv huzak potter? So that doesn't make any sense if he accepted upon himself shmiras nizakov. And if he didn't do that, be the low kabbal le shmiras nizakov, said he should be potter in both situations. Apilu hizik nami li potter. Not only would be huzak potter, but it would be hizik potter. Again, both should have the same din. If it damages or it gets damages, he should either be chayiv for both or he should be potter for both, depending on what he said. If he said, I take upon myself responsibility, he should be responsible for both. If he didn't take upon himself responsibility, then he should be chayiv for neither. So what's the answer? Omar Rava tells us the answer is Leolam Shekiba Lelov Shmiras Nizakov, that he did in fact accept upon himself Shmira for it to damage somebody else. However, we're dealing here with Kegon Shehikir Bo Shu Nachon. He knew that this was a dangerous shar. It was definitely a shar that went and gored other oxen. So he knew he has to go and watch it very carefully that it doesn't damage somebody else. And therefore, if it does damage somebody else, he knew that that would be a responsibility that he would have to have. And therefore, if he didn't watch it carefully enough, he will be responsible for any damage that this well-known goring ox did. Ustama de Milsa, however, the normal routine is the loazil ihu umazik achrine kabilalei. So in this situation, the shomer knows that this ox is likely to go and damage somebody else, so the shomer accepts upon himself that he'll be very careful with it. And therefore, he has accepted responsibility if it goes and damages somebody else. However, since this is such a virile, tough animal that it goes and damages other animals, he didn't assume that it would get damaged. The Osi Achrini, Umaski Leil, the day that another ox would come along and beat up his tough ox, so lo asika daiti, that never even entered his mind. And therefore, if it doesn't enter his mind, so then he never accepted responsibility for that. So that's how you can have a dichotomy over here in the din, that he is a chayav. If it went to damage somebody else, yes, he knew this was a damaging ox, and therefore he knew he would have to be very careful with it. And if he's not careful with it, he is responsible if it damages somebody else. But because it's a damaging ox, he just naturally assumed that it would not get damaged itself. And therefore he never took upon himself responsibility to protect it from getting damaged. And that's why Huzak Potter, in that situation, he would in fact be Potter. Okay, now we go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Kisharo be'olav b'mosera. If the owner of the ox tied it up with some sort of a rein, some sort of a normal tying that we tie the ox down with. Or likewise, if he v'no'al b'fonov kiroi, or he locked the barn door so the animal couldn't get out, he locked it properly, what's called a normal shmira, which we have been referring to as a shmira pechusa. And nevertheless, in both of these situations, either where he tied up the ox or he locked the door so the ox couldn't get out under normal circumstances, and nevertheless, the yotz of hizik, the ox somehow did get out and it did do damage. So then, echot tom v'echot muav chayiv. Whether it is a shor tam or whether it is a shor muad, the owner is going to be chayiv. He has to pay for the damages. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. In other words, Rabbi Meir holds that this normal shmira, what we're calling a shmira pechusa, is not enough, neither for a tam, not for a muad. And Rabbi Meir would say, in these situations, echot tam the echot muad, you would be chayiv. That is Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, yes, for the tam, you're chayiv. For the tam, you have to go and pay damages. You will be responsible for the damage that the tam did. You pay chatzi nezek, you'll be chayiv to pay for the damages that the ox did. However, if it was a muad, you would be potter. Now, why would you think that the din by a muad should require less watching than the din by a tam? After all, it is logical to assume that you need more of a shmir for the muad, the dangerous animal, than you would for the simple tam, the non-dangerous animal. So what's going on over here? What's the havamin at the thing that Rabbi Yehuda says that by the tam, yeah, if you did a shmira pechusa, i.e. a regular shmira, you're going to be chayim. But by the muad, if you did a regular shmira, you're going to be potter. Doesn't seem to make any sense. Seems to be that counterintuitive. So the Mefarshim explain, based upon upcoming Gemaras, that there are two possible terutzim over here. Number one is that this animal is well known to be a muad. So therefore, everybody watches out for this animal. And therefore, all you have to do is a regular shmira, because it has a bad reputation, and other oxen owners are going to keep their oxen away from this Ganach Shor, this Shor that is a reputation for going and goring. So therefore, that's somewhat paradoxical, but the tam, which doesn't have a bad reputation, so other people let their animals go near it, and it might gore them. So therefore, you better do a shmiru ma'ayusa for the tam. But for the muad, where everybody knows is a dangerous animal, they're all going to keep their animals far away from him. So therefore, a regular shmira is adequate. That's one explanation for why the tam should require a shmira ma'ayusa, according to Yehuda, and the muad only requires a regular shmira, what we call the shmira pechusa. That's teretz number one. Teretz number two is something we also had previously, and that is that how do you look at the full damages that a muad pays? You could look at it as a separate new entity called full damages, or you could look at it as that there were half damages that the animal had as an obligation when it was a tam. And now when it becomes a muad, we're adding on an additional half of the damages to make the total damages. So it's really half tam and half muad to make up the full nezek sholem obligation. So according to that understanding, so when we say over here that the muad part requires a regular shmira, that's only for the half that's the muad part. The tam part, that still requires the shmira ma'ayasa, and that doesn't go away. That's always there, even if the animal becomes a muad. So there's two different ways, so to say, that we look at this full damages. It's half tam, half muad, to make up the full nezek sholem. And therefore, the part that is the tam, that requires the shmira ma'ayasa, and the additional part that's added on for the muad, that only requires a regular shmira. Okay, those are the understanding of here why this seemingly illogical tam would be chayav because you need a shmira ma'ayisa and the mood is potter because you only need a regular shmira. Why that makes sense. But in any way, it's based upon psukim. Shenemar, v'lo yishmerenu ba'alav. Review the sheet is based upon the psukim that say that the owner didn't watch it. Now, Vishamar hu zeh, and this one was watched. Albeit it wasn't a shmiru ma'aisa, but it was watched somewhat, and therefore for the muad you only require a regular shmiru, because the pasuk in the Torah says v'lo yishmeru b'olav then yuchayiv, implying that if there's some shmiru you're not chayiv. Vishamar hu zeh, and it was somewhat guarded. Finally, then we have the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, which we brought down previously in the shir, and that is Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ein lo shmir el sakin. The only way to protect yourself from such a goring animal, a shor muad, is to go and shecht it. You need a knife. You got to go and shecht it. That's the only way to make sure it doesn't gore anybody else. Okay, Gemara starts off and says, my time of the Rameir. What's the rationale behind Rameir? They're saying that both the tam and the muad, both of them require a shmirah ma'ayisa. And if you only do a regular shmirah, such as kishor b'yol of the mosera, you tied it up with a rope, or v'nar b'fon k'roy, or you lock the door behind it in a normal fashion, neither of those is good. If the animal gets out and does damage, whether it's a tam or a mu'ud, you're chayiv. What is Rav Meir's rationale for that? So the Gemara says, my time to Rav Meir, kasavar, Rav Meir holds, stam shvarim. Now, the gear that we have is lav b'cheska shimur kaimi, which is to be understood is that they're not considered to be watched. In other words, such a shartam just goes around without the owners watching it because they haven't demonstrated that they're dangerous. Now, Tosos, Rabbeinu Tam brings down in the top Tosos, Rabbeinu Tam Goris, the exact opposite, but it comes to the same understanding. He leaves out the word lav, and he says, such shvarim b'cheska shimur kaimi, they are considered watched because they're not dangerous. So therefore, whether you learn it like our gear, or you learn it like Rabbeinu Tam, the bottom line is, the Torah tells us, v'yomer rachmona, tam nichayiv, the Torah tells us that yichayiv to pay damages for the tam. Because a tam requires less normal guarding, because it's normally either in an unwatched state or we consider it as if it's watched. In other words, it doesn't require watching because it's a tam. But then the Torah has a second pasuk, Hadar Omer Rachbana, V'lo Yishmerenu B'olav. V'lo Yishmerenu means Gabi Muad. That's written by a Muad, the Nibayele Shmira Mu'ula. Now, it tells us that the Shor Muad requires a Shmira Mu'ula, a Shmira Ma'ayasa. But we have it uses the terminology nogach by a tam. It uses the terminology nogach by the muad, and therefore v'yolif negichol l'tam, negichol l'muad, to teach us according to Rav Meir that both of them require the shmirah ma'ayisa. So, therefore, Rav Meir doesn't distinguish between a tam and a muad, and based upon the fact that it tells us that you need to have the tam to be watched somewhat, and then you need a higher level for the muad. But then it tells us that the tam and the muad through the gzeir shava have the same. So therefore, bottom line is, both of them require shmiru ma'ayisa, according to Rav Meir. Now, that's not illogical. It certainly doesn't have the problem of Rav Yehuda being counterintuitive. Here, okay, we have a gzeir shava to tell us that the normal expectation that the muad should be watched more than the tam, you have to raise up the tam to the level of the muad. Both of them require shmiru ma'ayisa. So Rav Meir makes very good sense when you have the gzeir shava on top of the normal logic that the muad should be a stricter watching than the tam. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda says the tam requires the stricter watching. Rav Yehuda savar stam shvarim b'cheska shimur kaimi. He said, people do watch their oxen, albeit they watch it with a lower level of watching for a tam than they do for a muad. And then the Torah says, Om Rachmona tam nishalim. Then it tells us the tam has to pay. What does that mean, that the tam has to pay? Dinibayel shmira ma'ula, that you need a shmira ma'ayisa for the tam. That's why you have to pay, unless you did a shmira ma'ayisa. But then the Torah says, Hadar Om Rachmona v'lo yishmeru ba'alav, that is written gabe muad. And that comes to teach us, again, like the opinion that we had of Rav Meir, that comes to upgrade it to a higher level. But it already wasn't a higher level. So, have a ribuy acha ribuy. This is a ribuy adding on after we've already added on. So, we added on to the tam, and now we're adding one more time onto that. And this is like a double negative. Ein ribuy acha ribuy el lemayit. So therefore, the second time that we're marbe by the muad, the lo yishmeru b'olav, actually comes to knock it down. Comes to knock down the muad from a shmira ma'ayisa to a shmira pechusa. And therefore, the ein ribuy acha ribuy el lemayit, and therefore, mi takosav l'shmira ma'ula by the shor muad. What about the Zeru Shava? So Gemara says, velo li'acher. That comes to exclude us from making the gzeirah shav across the board. And it says, lo yishmenu ba'olav, velo yishmenu lazeh, velo li'acher. To this one, and not to the other one. So therefore, the bottom line is, according to Rav Yehuda, you have this seeming paradox, which I spoke out earlier, this seemingly counterintuitive understanding that the tam requires a shmira ma'ayisa, whereas the mu'ud, you can get away with a shmira pechusa. Gemara says, we need the words lo yishmenu ba'olav to teach us the basic din. How can you say that it teaches us lozeh v'lo li'acher? So one says, no, if you don't want it to teach us that, imkein nichta rachmona v'lo yishmar. Why did it have to say v'lo yishmerenu? Oh, it's the extra word, v'lo yishmerenu, from that extra addition, instead of just v'lo yishmar, that comes to teach us lozeh v'lo li'acher as well. So the bottom line is, we have this machlos in Remei and Yehuda. Remei says both the tam and the mu'ud require shmiru ma'ayisa. And Rav Yehuda says that no, only the tam requires shmiru ma'ayisa. The mu'ud, paradoxically, only requires a shmiru pechusa, a regular shmiru. Now, these are the three shitas that we learned so far, Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, and Rabbi Eliezer. Now we have a fourth shita, Tanya. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer. Don't confuse this with Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov teaches us the following. Echot tam v'echot mu'ad sheshimaro shmira pechusa potter. According to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, the tam and the mu'ad both only require regular shmira, what we call shmira pechusa. And as long as you did a regular shmira, potter. Why is that? My timer, what's his rationale? Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Savallah, he holds Rabbi Yehuda, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, d'yamah mu'ad b'shmira pechusa sagilei. He agrees with Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that the mu'at only requires a shmira pechusa, a regular shmira. And he then uses the gzeirah shavah, v'yolof negich l'tam, negich l'mu'at, to teach us that that now knocks down what we had previously learned was a shmira ma'ayis for the tam. Rezim Yaakov says, no, the gzeirah shavah knocks that down, and both of them only require a shmira pechusa, a regular shmira, and this is the fourth and final shita that we have for what type of shmira does a tam or a mu'at need. So again, just to quickly chazer over, according to Rav Meir, they both require shmira ma'ayisa. According to Rav Eliezer Yaakov, they both require shmira pechusa. And then we have the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda states that only the tam requires a shmira ma'ayisa. The mu'at, somewhat paradoxically, only requires a shmira pechusa. And then finally, we have the opinion of Rav Eliezer. Rav Eliezer says there is no such thing as shmira by a shor mu'at. The only way to stop it from damaging is to go and shecht it, the sakin. Okay. Amar Rav Adam Rabba says, Lo Potter Rav Yehuda El Tzad Ha'ador Shebo. So here we have a qualification, if you wish, that Rav Adam Rabba says that when Rav Yehuda says that the Shor Tam requires a Shmira Ma'ayisa and the Shor Mu'ud only requires a Shmira Pechusa, that's only for the half. I alluded to this earlier. That only requires to the second half of the Nezek Shalem that you pay. The first half is the tam that still stays there. And that requires a Shmira Ma'ayasa. If you only did a Shmira B'chusa, all you do is get out of, exempted from that second half of the Nezek Shalem. Lo Potter of Yehuda El Tzad Ha'adar Shebo. It only is for the Mu'at aspect, the second half of the Nezek Shalem that you pay, because it's now a Mu'at. Avot Tzad Tamas, the original chatzi nezik that you pay from the tam aspect, bimkoma omedes. Unless you have a shmira ma'ayisa, that still is going to be a liability that you have to pay for it. That's Rav Adam Rava is qualifying the shita of Yehuda to say when Rav Yehuda says you're potter if you have a shmira ma'ayisa, it's only from the second half, but you're not potter from the first half, which was the tzad tamus shabbat. Not everybody agrees with this. Rav disagrees with this. Omer Rav, mu'ad lekeren yamin, ain't a mu'ad lekeren small. Rav says somewhat of an enigmatic statement. He says that if an ox were to gore three times with its right horn, so the right horn is mu'ad, but the left horn ain't a mu'ad lekeren small. The left horn isn't yet going to be mu'ad because it gored three times with the right horn, so that's only the right horn that makes it into a mu'ad, and only when it gores with the right horn will you pay nezek shalim, and if you gore with the left horn, it's still like a tam, and you only pay chatzi nezek. Who does this go like? Army. The Gemara says, I'll leave with the man. Who does this go like? E, I'll leave with the Remeir. If you're telling me this is Remeir, wait a second. Remeir doesn't distinguish between the Tam and the Mu'ud. Hamar Echo Tam V'yachad Mu'ud, Shmir Mu'ulabai. He says you need a Shmir Ma'ayisa. So therefore, if you need Shmir Ma'ayisa, so what difference does it make whether it was Mu'ud Lekeren Yamin and it's not Mu'ud Lekeren Smol? Bottom line is, you need a Shmir Ma'ayisa, or else you're going to be Chayiv. E, I'll leave with the Rabbi Yehuda. Ah, you're going to tell me it goes like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? that a person only has to do a shmir ma'ayisa for the tam can get away with the shmir b'chusa, the regular shmir for the muad, he'll leave the Rabbi Yehuda. So, wait a second. My area, Karen Small, why would you tell me that the Karen Small, it's not considered a muad? It's only a muad for the Karen Yamin. So then, afilu b'yamin nami. Is beitzad tamus vi is beitzad muedes. So again, according to the way Rav Ada bar Ava understood Rav Yehuda, so it would still maybe not have to pay for the tzad that was the second half, the tzad that was the muad half, but it would still have to pay the chatzin nezek from the tam half. So my ear, you're carrying small. According to this, it shouldn't make any distinction whether it was the right horn or the left horn. Afilu biyamin nami, even with the right horn, is beitzad tamus vi is beitzad muedes. It has the two halves to it, and therefore Rav Ada bar Ava can't be correct according to the way Rav understands this. And that's what the Gemara says, Amrei, le'olam k'Rav Yehuda. Rav holds like Rav Yehuda. However, v'lo sirulei the Rav Ada bar Ava, and he can't hold like Rav Ada bar Ava. And this is how Rav understands it. Ki hai gavna, in this situation, in our case that we're talking about with the right horn and the left horn, the mishpachas beitzad tamus umuedes, where if you go with the right horn, so it has a half of that is the tam half, and the other half is now the muad half. So we turn to memvav amid aleph, but that's only true when you have this unique case where it's only going with the right horn, and only the right horn is a muad, and the left horn is a tam. If this is a full-fledged muad animal for both the left and the right side, in other words, we didn't distinguish between the right and the left horns, so then, lo mishkachas beit tzad tamus klal. Then there is no tzad tamus at all. Then we consider this a regular full muad, and there isn't a half of it tam and a half of it muad. Then it's entirely muad. So therefore, Rav understands the opinion that if you do a shmira pechusa for a muad, so then if it was a true full muad, so then there's no tzad tamus there at all, and therefore, if you did a shmir pechusa, the sheet of Rav Yehuda is, then in fact that is adequate, and you wouldn't be chayiv at all. Not the chatzi of the muad that you added on to the tam, because there is no tzad tamus in this situation. It's just a muad, and there is no penalty for muad with the shmirah pechusa with the regular shmir. Then we conclude this fourth perek of Bava Kama with the quote from the Mishnah. Rav Elazar Omer, Ein lo shmir ela sakim b'chule. We said that Rav Elazar's opinion was that there's no way to watch a muad. The only way to do it is to kill it, to go and shacht it with a knife. Amar Rabba, what's the rationale here? At my time with Rav Elazar, because the pasuk says, Yom HaKrov, v'lo yishmeranu, shuv ein lo shmir ela zeh. It's impossible. When the Torah says v'lo yishmeranu, that he didn't guard it, it means that he couldn't guard it. You cannot guard a shor muad. It will be too dangerous, and therefore go and shacht it. Amalei Abaye, Abaye says to Rabba, El Meata, based upon what you're saying, V'lo Yishmerenu means it can't be guarded. So then when the pasuk says, V'lo Yichasenu, the full pasuk is, V'chi Yiftach Ishbar, O Ki Yichre Ishbar, meaning digs a hole or opens up a hole, V'lo Yichasenu, and he doesn't cover it up. Now, the way we understood a minute ago, when we said V'lo Yishmerenu means he cannot watch it. It's too much of a dangerous animal. That would imply over here with the bar, he also cannot watch it. Are you telling me that it's impossible to go and cover this up? And no, yeah, you're going to say it's impossible to cover it up. So then, but now, but we learned in the Mishnah that if you did cover it up, then if you covered it up properly, and nevertheless, an animal, an ox, or a donkey did fall inside of it, so then you're potter, because you did cover it up right. So if you're telling me the lo yishmerenu means it's impossible to guard it, so then the lo yichasenu should mean it's impossible to go and cover it up. But that's not true. So we have to really question, does the lo yishmerenu mean it's impossible to go and watch such a shor? So your word says, El Omar Abaye. Abaye says, you know, Taka, Hainu time of the Rebeleza. This is the real reason of Rebeleza. Kiditanya, like we're in the Brisa. Rabbi Nosson Omer, Rabbi Nosson tells us, Minayin shol yigadil odom kelev rabasof beso. How do we know the person shouldn't go and raise a pit bull in his house, a wild dog, a bad dog in his house? And don't keep a dangerous ladder, a ladder that's going to break, and somebody could, Rachman son, go up on the ladder and then fall down and kill himself. How do we know you're not going to keep a bad dog, a dangerous dog, or a dangerous ladder in your house? Because the pasuk says, "Shenema velososim damim beisecha." You're not allowed to go and put dangerous things in your house. That's what it means over here. V'lo yishmerenu, it means that don't keep such an animal. Yishmor means to watch it. Don't watch such an animal. Kill such an animal, it's dangerous. It's not a good thing to keep it over there. And that's what we're dashing out. Rabbi Elazar Shita that says you can only watch a muad by killing it. That's the only good shmirah for a muad. Hadrin lecha shor shenogach arba v'chamisha. Hadrin lecha shor shenogach arba v'chamisha. Hadrin lecha shor shenogach arba v'chamisha. Yitz Hashem, we'll start the beautiful fifth parak tomorrow. Everybody should have a wonderful day. And for those that are listening to this during Chanukah, everyone should have a freilich Chanukah, and Klai Yisrael should be kept safe. We should see nisim bizman hazeh, just like we saw by Yomim Ahim.